day of Pentecost has a long, long, rich history that goes way back beyond the story that we heard today. Pentecost was a Jewish festival. It has its roots in the first fruits of the harvest. So 50 days after Passover, there's this celebration that happens, and people gather up the first fruits of their harvest, bring it to the temple, and they offer an offering as thanksgiving for all that God has provided in the harvest. So that's the first thing that it is. And then there's the second thing which gets attached to it later on, and that is that it becomes the celebration of the giving of Torah. The time when Moses goes up the mountain, remember the people are all down here, and Moses goes up to Mount Sinai and gets the word of God, the Torah, and comes back down with it. So it's first fruits, Thanksgiving, and it's also the Thanksgiving for Torah. What I think is really fun and interesting about that particular festival is that the book that's read every year at the time of the festival is the book of Ruth. One book in the Hebrew Bible that, boy, barely ever thinks, even mentions God. A little bit, not much. But here's the thing. Ruth, remember the story of Ruth? We start with Naomi, who's in Israel. And Naomi and her husband and her two sons, there's a famine in Israel. They have to go to Moab, of all places. Moab. This is like, you don't want to have to go to Moab. But there's a famine. You go wherever you can find food. So they go to Moab, and Naomi's boys find nice Moabite women to marry. Which, you know, that's for a Jewish mother, that's like, boy, not so good. But there it is. And they marry, and one of the daughters-in-laws is named Orpah, and the other is named Ruth. And somehow this happens that Naomi's husband and her two sons die, leaving her only with her two daughters-in-law. And she says to them, go home to your own people. I will go back to my people. I will go home in shame and all of these things. Orpah says, yes, okay, I go. And Orpah goes. Ruth says, I will not leave you. I will go where you go. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. And so it goes, and she convinces Naomi to take her back with her to Israel. All right? And as it happens, they go, and they find a place to stay, and there's this guy named Boaz who has all of this. He's in the midst of harvest, and Ruth goes to her, and asks if she can glean from the field. And so that's what she ends up doing for her and her mother-in-law. To have food, she gleans. And this is one of the commandments that is actually a part of the whole Pentecost idea. You bring your first fruits and you don't harvest all of your wheat or all of your grain. You leave that for the poor who need to collect food. Right? And so Ruth plays right into that theme of harvest. And Boaz falls in love with Ruth. And they eventually, it's too long to explain, they get married. And they have a baby. And they name him Obed. And Obed becomes the father of Jesse, who becomes the father of David, the king of Israel, the king of Israel. Right? Isn't that delicious? That a Moabite woman becomes the great-grandmother of King David, right? This is like, God is doing something here. God is mixing stuff up. You don't, Israelites, you don't like Moabites? I got something for you. This is just a wonderful story. And I think then all of a sudden now, we've got Peter and the disciples, they're all there, and at the day of Pentecost, as the Christians understand it, that day happens, and they're praying, and then the wind comes, and the fire comes, and the Spirit of truth comes, and all of a sudden, they are fluent in every language, the disciples, right? Everybody's talking, and they're talking in the language that everybody else can understand, and the people are just stunned that these guys from Podunk Galilee are so fluent in all the different languages.
So what a surprise. It's just unbelievable.
Just as a side, like, so when we first moved here, we were invited to a dinner up at Mike and Carrie Travers. And a whole bunch of people we didn't know, of course, because we had just gotten here. And there was a woman who came in, and she was, I don't know if she'd just gotten back. Where did she just get back from? Do you remember this story? All right. Not yet. So there's a woman comes in, and she has just gotten back from somewhere in Asia, and I don't know exactly which country she was in. And she was fluent in this language, and she was just like, I miss speaking this language so much. And then there's another person in the gathering who started speaking to her in that very language. This obscure, I mean, like, holy moly, how did that happen, right? And then the two of them, we never even saw them again because they were so excited to speak this language that they went off and started talking to each other. God is up to stuff like that, you know? And so, anyway, we're back to this idea here that Ruth becomes the great-grandmother of King David. And now, people from every country under the earth, under the sun, are there in Jerusalem. And they're hearing the good news that is being proclaimed. This thing about Jesus of Nazareth, the mighty acts of God, which is to say, someone dying and God raising him from the dead. And they're hearing it in their own languages. And these are not people who generally get along, but these people have immigrated to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a huge cosmopolitan city. You know, think about New York City. It's not that big, but it's all the people in the world are there, right? And Jerusalem, all the folks are there. And this spirit is poured out. And you can just imagine God in heaven saying, that's it, I'm going for broke. I'm pouring the whole thing out. Blah! Out goes the spirit of God on everybody. There's no discrimination about it. There's no, like, I'm going to give it to you. This is my dainty thing, you know, here, but you, I don't know about you, but maybe. No, it's none of that. It's like this big splash of spirit on everyone. Even the Moabites get splashed in this thing, okay? And if all of the people that we don't like, they get splashed with the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of love, the Spirit of repentance and forgiveness. It all happens right there. And everybody gets round up in it. The Spirit of truth is fluent in every language. The Spirit of peace abounds in every people. It's given. And we can't say yet that Pentecost took care of everything, right? It was the very beginning. It was a glimpse of what God's Spirit wants in the world. God wants us to be in communication, in communion with one another. God wants us to keep our eyes open for the things that God is up to. In small ways, in big ways. The nations of the world. Now, here we are in this little church, and there isn't really a thing we can do to affect peace on a global scale. I mean, could we stop what's going on in Gaza and in Israel? Can we stop what's going on between Russia and Ukraine? Can we stop that stuff? Not by the means that have been given to us by the world, for sure. Not by those means. But God is at work. And the Spirit of God is at work among the nations and in this little place. And the task, it seems to me, the gift, not the task, the gift is that we have seen what God is wanting, what God is yearning for, what God desires in this world. That all people be showered with His Spirit of love and truth. That we walk in that same Spirit of love
and truth. That somehow these little gatherings of congregations around the world can become these places of grace, places of peace. People who are yearning for what God yearns for.
Oh, I know. It doesn't feel like it's enough. I would much rather feel like Gandhi or Martin Luther King. Right? God love them. They did these amazing things. But you know what? We are called to do what we can do. We are called to love. We are called to let go of our animosities. And we do that as a humble start to let go of those things. My answer to myself is sometimes. Sometimes I can do that. There are times when I really feel like it's so delicious to hold on to that. It's just, sometimes I blame the Sicilian in me. But it isn't. It isn't that, is it, Vita? It's not. It's me wanting what the world has, what the world offers, and me taking it and gobbling it. That's not God's vision. And so on the day of Pentecost, God gives us this wonderful example of the actual, like, the thing that we are most excited about in the world. If I'm an Israelite around this time, I'm thinking about, oh, the kingdom of David. What I'm yearning to return is the kingdom of David. And guess what? Our mortal enemy is tied into that. Connected to that very thing that I so much yearn for, that I so love, that I'm so proud of. And it's going to separate me from other people because it'll make me good and them not. The very thing, that very thing is tied up with, is connected with, would not have happened without my mortal enemy. How strange is that? What in the world? I think what the Spirit of God is doing at Pentecost is saying, folks, you're all one. You're all connected. You are all mine. Could we just begin to think about that? Could our hearts be transformed if we realize that the person that we really have the animosity against is right here, is part of me? I don't feel very comfortable saying that or experiencing that. It happens to be what the Spirit seems to be doing at Pentecost. All the people in the world. I would love to be able to say, those damn Russians. I would love to be able to jump in with that. Have somebody over against I can stand. And the Spirit says, that's not truth. That's not the truth. The truth is, those people are mine too. The truth is, they make you what you are. They give you something. You give them something. Now, what's it going to be?
Are you going to give them more hatred and more anger? Are you going to give them what I have given you? Love. Forgiveness. Peace. We cannot wait until it comes to us from someone else to give it back to them. We've already received it in the Spirit of God. And now it's time for us to give it over. While we were enemies with God, Christ came and died for us, was raised from the dead, and gives us the Spirit of truth and love. Imagine Peter, who makes this big speech that was read beautifully by Roberta. Right? There he was, as Jesus was on trial. And what did he have to say about Jesus then? I do not know the man. No, don't know him. I do not know the man. And then, at Pentecost, he stands up and he speaks out of that brokenness, out of that incredible failure. He stands and speaks the words of Pentecost. Makes the first speech, the first sermon about this Jesus who has been raised from the dead. Stunning. Because he has been given the Spirit of truth. And what happened in the past is forgiven. And what we are called to in the future, as Peter was to bear witness, to proclaim, to give forth the loving Spirit that showers us all. Amen. Amen.